Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we deliver expert sex advice and soulful conversations to guide you on your way to a happier, healthier sex life. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will find a complete podcast archive. And while you are there, be sure to sign up for the Erotic Essentials, our free online course that is a treasure trove of resources just waiting to guide you towards a more pleasurable erotic existence.
Oof.
When you are ready to master new erotic skills, check out our online mastery courses that guide you in mastering the skills of couples massage, kinky sex, erotic spanking, foreplay, and our newest course, Mindful Sex. Check them all out at pleasuremechanics.com and use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be pulling apart one of the dynamics that we hear drives a lot of ladies crazy, and not in the good way. It's a pattern that a lot of guys can unlearn to be a little bit more masterful, awesome, fabulous in bed. And it's a subtle one. So we're going to dive in. This was inspired by an email we received by a listener. So Charlotte will get us started by reading the letter. Here we go.
Hey, Pleasure Mechanics. I just discovered your podcast a few weeks ago and am listening every chance I get. Your take on sexuality is so refreshing and empowering. I am 42, married for 15 years to a great guy. We have a great marriage, parent well together, and have a pretty good sex life. There is one thing he does that drives me crazy, and not in a good way. Every time we're having sex, he asks me over and over again if it feels good, if I'm close to orgasm, how it feels. Then after we have sex, he is always asking if it was good. I think he's just trying to be a thoughtful partner and know he wants me to enjoy sex, but why does this annoy me so much? It is both distracting and irritating on some other level that I can't quite name. How do I communicate in a way so his ego isn't bruised, but politely ask him to shut the fuck up while we are fucking? Thanks.
Okay. So here are a few things here that I want to talk about. Talking and communicating during sex. When is it distracting and when is it a turn on? And how to know the difference. What this irritant is. So what is the difference between confident communication and caretaking communication, which I think might be what is annoying her, and when and how to communicate during sex and after sex that you don't annoy your partner, right? So how to take the annoyance out of this, because so much of sex education's advice is communicate, communicate, communicate. So isn't that what this guy is doing? Not quite. There's another dynamic at play here, I think, that brings her to that place of irritation. And we've heard this pattern from enough women that we feel like there's something going on here with nice guys during sex that is annoying the hell out of women. So how can we recalibrate that? I'm going into the pleasure mechanics thing. Like, what tune-up do we need here to make that engine run a little bit smoother? Okay.
And because this is a 15-year marriage and it's not a dating situation, it's different than what one would need to do if you're dating and you're in a first hookup. We talked in the episode about it's not just bad sex, about needing to communicate at every level of get consent in every new sex act. And because this is a 15-year relationship, there doesn't need to be that level of communication for each act.
Well, this isn't even asking for consent, right? So there's a difference between getting verbal consent, again, as you said, when we're in a new relationship, the first few times you're having sex with someone. This is that dynamic of asking, does that feel good? Are you close to coming? How does that feel? Tell me how it feels. And that's not even asking for consent. That's asking for validation, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to name that as, you know, if we're in the ballpark of talking about communication during sex, yes, this is a different kind of communication, but I just wanted to draw those distinctions.
Right, definitely. Yeah. You communicate differently with your wife of 15 years than someone you just went on a date with.
Right.
For sure. But we often say verbally communicate during sex. Ask your partner what feels good. And so are we giving bad advice here? Like, what is going on there? Because I think the dynamic here, like, let's just get straight to it. I think the dynamic here is the asking is not out of a place of gathering information so that they can be a better lover and get to know what your body responds to, which is the kind of communication we're talking about. I think this communication comes from a place of tell me I'm good enough.
Of insecurity, of wanting check-in that you're performing okay and doing a good job. And
right. We hear this from a lot of women that they feel like they need to take care of their man's ego during sex and protect his sense of performance. And that they then go into this caretaker role almost of having to take care of his emotions, which takes them out of their erotic experience.
Esther Perel, because of course we like to mention Esther in every episode, talks about how caretaking is the complete opposite to eroticism, especially for women, and that it is what kills eroticism. And so this is a dynamic where she has desire, she is into it, and then she's having to interrupt it with caretaking, and it's turning her off, which is irritating her.
Right, and it's subtle here because we often think of caretaking as the caretaking of the kids, the caretaking of the family, the getting food on the table, the making sure everyone's okay. And that's the anti-erotic we need to break out of, which is all true. This kind of caretaking is much more subtle because it's couched in this way of, is this good for you? But what you're really asking is, am I good enough?
Yeah.
And how we transform this subtle form of emotional caretaking, of protecting your masculine ego during sex, is the guy has to come at sex with much more confidence. And with that confidence, you can ask the question, does this feel good, without it being needy? And we're going to talk about some ways to do that, how to transform that question so you can really get more information about what your partner likes without it being this bid for approval, for validation. That's the dynamic we want to get rid of here. But first, I want to talk about just the basic fact that for some people, some of the time, talking during sex is a tremendous turn on. And we have episodes on how to talk dirty. We have processes you can follow to activate your erotic voice. Because for some people, there's nothing hotter than narrating sex and hearing your partner's voice and talking about the cock and your pussy and fuck me and all of this language. That triggers a lot of arousal for a lot of people some of the time. For some people, talking about sex during sex is a total distraction and they just want everyone to shut the fuck up.
And that is often people who really like to go into an experience of erotic trance, where there is silence, where often their eyes are closed, they're breathing, they're really going into the sensations in their body, and they're craving a certain kind of sex.
Right. And if you haven't listened to it already, go back into the archive and look for episode 239, Three Ways to Have More Fulfilling Sex. This is all about the three modes of erotic engagement, and it reveals that different people have different intentions having sex in different moments. And so if the wife here is just wanting to slip into sensation and focus totally on that pleasure, the voice of her partner can be irritating and distracting just because it brings her out of her trance. Right? And trance is this whole realm that we need to talk more about and that a lot of people crave. But talking when you're going into a trance state is
breaking the trance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So definitely check out episode 239 if that is not familiar to you as a concept. But I think just this idea that do you want to talk during sex? Is talking arousing or distracting? And if so, like if it is arousing, what kind of talk? Do you want really vulgar, dirty talk? Or do you want loving words? Because those are two also very different experiences. You know, saying like, ride my cock, you slut, is very different than, I love you, you are so beautiful, you mean so much to me. Totally different experiences, different outcomes. And so this is kind of part of the communication. When we say communicate during sex, it isn't this moment by moment check-in. It's these big level conversations where you get to know your partner as an erotic being. And most of that communication should happen outside of the bedroom, not during sex. So when you're going on walks together, long drives, over the kitchen table, when the kids have gone to sleep, spending time talking about sex, getting to know one another, going through our courses, going through our worksheets. We provide all these resources to guide you in these conversations so that you know one another well before you're having sex. It's part of like if you imagine athletes sitting around the chalkboard and going over plays and watching videotapes. That's part of their training so that while they're playing the game, they have all that information.
And they can be more masterful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That said, there is some kinds of communication during sex that can be really useful. But asking your partner to validate your skills, to tell you that you're good, is usually not a turn-on. What's more of a turn-on is coming from a place of confidence and self-assurance, and then focusing the communication on your partner's pleasure, right? So instead of, does this feel good? Is this good enough? Are you getting close to orgasm?
Is this okay?
Is this okay? Like, ugh. Instead of those questions, replace those questions with, I have two fingers inside you. Do you want a third? Tell me when you're ready for deeper pressure. Do you want more? Those are those kind of slight little tweaking conversations that can be answered with one or two words and are really just asking, it's a form of consent, but it's just asking for
how to make it even better.
How to make it even better.
I also want to say that in our last episode called Sex Lab, we talked a lot about how to create specific spaces where you can do a lot of talking and questioning and discovering what feels really amazing. And it's such a great thing to do in a long-term relationship or with a newer partner to explore and really fine-tune and hone and learn what your partner really likes in an explicit way, where you know there's going to be a lot of conversation. It's like a separate space outside of sex.
Right. So the exploratory mode of sex versus this kind of sex, which you're trying to take one another on a journey. And when you're going on that journey, imagine going for a walk and you're going on a long hike. If every step of the way your partner's asking, like, is this hike okay? We can't see any waterfalls. Is that all right? How are you doing here? Da-da-da-da. Like, you're not enjoying the hike. But instead, you're kind of charging forth together, going on this journey. You don't know what you're going to find. And the check-ins are more like, should we go at a faster pace? No, I'm good. Okay, cool. That kind of confidence, I'm trying to articulate the kind of confidence that doesn't ask your partner if they actually want to be having sex with you because you know they want to be having sex with you, because they're enthusiastic, because you're in a relationship, because you're focusing on their pleasure, because you already know deep in your body that what you're doing is okay, that you are wanted, that you are accepted, that you are good enough.
And you've explored enough and know what feels good to them. So you've had conversations outside of the bedroom where you really have explored, like, what is it that you like? When I do that thing, is that comfortable? Is that good? Can I generally be going faster? Like, you have all of those conversations so you can get your concerns and worries out of the way and really learn what they really, really like and what they want more of. One of the questions you could be asking and get in the habit of asking outside of the bedroom after sex is, what could make that even better? And what did you really enjoy? What worked well for you? And what could make it even better? And if you know you're going to be having those conversations regularly after sex, you can relax during sex and get on with enjoying it and doing what you know they like. And you'll also be continually improving your sex life. So you can be confident and feel secure about that also.
Right. So we're talking about two different kinds of confidence here. So just to name them, there's sexual confidence where you have good skills, you know what your partner likes, you know how to get feedback from them non-verbally, you're watching for how their body responds to your touch, sexual confidence, which all of our online courses can really help you with, by the way. And then there's this emotional confidence. And I think that's what's at play here even more sometimes that's not named. It's this feeling of, does my partner really want me? Am I a good enough lover? Am I attractive enough? Am I hard enough? Is my cock okay? Am I performing well? Am I lasting long enough? And so many men write to me with these questions that when I look just under the surface, when I look under the hood, I'm in the mechanics mode apparently, then I notice this pattern. Because so many men write to me about things like, how do I get my ejaculate to squirt further? Or how do I increase the volume of my ejaculate? Or is my cock the right size? All of these questions of insecurity about their equipment, just underneath the surface of that is, am I a good enough? Am I manly enough? Am I masculine enough? Am I a good enough lover to deserve my partner's attention? And men in our culture are supposed to have so much swagger and be so into sex and kind of perform this kind of sexual confidence that it almost impedes them from developing authentic sexual confidence and a feeling of being wanted and accepted as they are. And by the way, for women, all of the dick jokes and making fun of small cocks and making fun of men and calling men pigs, that doesn't help the situation. So we need to stop that. We need to knock that off.
The shaming of penis size, yes, as a cultural way of taking, yes, men down a notch.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a way that we can all contribute to making a more body-loving, accepting, sexually safe environment for all of us.
Yeah.
It's an easy dig, but it's just the same as like calling a woman fat, you know. Right. It's like that doesn't feel good to anyone.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think for men, what we need to take away from this conversation, I'm putting myself in the we right there with men, but I am too a lover of women. How do we sink deeper into the experience of, because we are good lovers, because we have learned about the female body, we know how to do clitoral stimulation, we know how to give her full body warm up, by developing our skills as masterful lovers, and also developing the emotional confidence of feeling worthy of someone's attention and feeling good enough and manly enough, we can knock off the questions of, please tell me I'm good enough in the middle of sex.
Mm.
Because that feels needy, it feels desperate, and for a lot of women, it takes them into this caretaking mode that pulls them out of their own erotic experience. And if we want to bring our female lovers on this journey of arousal, bring them to the heights of orgasm, be a great lover for them, we need to cultivate that relationship of confidence and that we're both here together and that we know how to communicate so that we feel enthusiastic about this experience and we don't have to ask, did you come? Was that good enough for you? How was that for you? Because we know deep in our body how it was, because we're paying attention, we're staying present, and we're giving. We're giving of ourselves, of our attention, and coming from a place of self-assuredness and confidence. Because when we ask women, how can men be sexier? What do you find sexy in a man? This C word comes up all the time, and it isn't cock. It's confidence, right? This feeling of self-assuredness, and I'm ready to take control in a loving way and guide you on this experience, is what so many women crave. And to take control in a loving way and to guide people on an erotic experience, you have to have confidence and know what you're doing.
And these are all nuances, right? This is all subtle stuff we're talking about, because the basic part is they're having good sex and he is caring about her pleasure. And we applaud him and appreciate that about him. Any of you who are caring enough to want to communicate at this level are in the right ballpark. This is just a fine tuning.
It's a pleasure mechanics tune-up, not a full-on break down by the side of the road kind of situation.
Right. It's a small thing. I think I just want to name that. We appreciate that you are communicating and that you're centering her pleasure, and that is awesome. And I know many of you are doing that. So,
but it doesn't always feel that it's centering her pleasure. Sometimes it feels like you're asking me to tell you you're good enough, which is not actually about my pleasure. It's a weird nuance here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other piece here is how you respond to feedback. So during these conversations outside of the bedroom or in the moment, if your partner asks you to adjust something or gives you the feedback that something you did doesn't feel good, a confident lover takes that feedback and is like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I can adjust that for next time. Cool. Thanks for telling me. A needy, desperate partner pouts and shames the partner for having given feedback and feels hurt and defensive. So how you have these sexual conversations and the attitude you bring tells your partner something about your confidence and your ability to grow and change as a lover over time. If you're pouting and feeling defensive when you receive sexual feedback, then you need to kind of go back a few steps and start evaluating, where do you need to feel more loved? How can you feel more worthy in your relationship? What kind of other forms of communication are you doing together to create that defensiveness? But I think this is a place, too, that we can all grow, men and women alike, in receiving feedback from the most confident, loving place of thank you for telling me what you need. That's great information to have. We'll try something new next time. Cool. Can't wait. Can't wait to level up. And this was something I developed as a massage therapist after all of my sessions, both doing traditional massage and sexological body work, where I was doing genital stimulation and all of that, asking the question, what would have made it even better, creates this open space that the recipient can evaluate and think, huh, I would have liked a little deeper penetration. Cool, now I know. But it also opens that space for the giver, for you, when you ask that question, of receiving that information from a place like it wasn't broken, it wasn't wrong, you didn't do something bad, you didn't fail. You're just willing to optimize. That's such a different place. Like, all professional athletes are constantly upping their game. Michael Jordan didn't stop like, oh, I can dunk, great. No, he learned how to dunk from the, you know, free throw line. He learned how to fly. You can't just stop at good enough in a long-term relationship. You have to constantly be willing to optimize, to grow, to explore new things. And the way to do that is with confidence and with self-assuredness.
In the question, the listener asks how she can communicate to him without hurting his feelings. So how could she have this conversation? I would say, outside of the bedroom, at the table, you know, wherever you're having a conversation about your sex. I so appreciate that you are caring about my pleasure and that you're caring about what feels good to me. I'm noticing that when we're having sex, I really want to be able to focus on the sensations and really enjoy the experience. And when you're asking me the questions, it kind of takes me out of my body and into my head. And I enjoy the experience a little bit less. So I'm wondering if there are specific questions that you have, if we could talk about them now, or if there are specific, I'm wondering if we could talk about what would make sex even better so that you could feel a little bit more confident.
Yeah. And you might want to start that conversation with, I love having sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome that after 15 years, we're still having sex we enjoy.
So true.
High five, total win.
Yeah.
And let's think about how we can tweak the experience to make it even better for both of us.
Right. What would feel even better to you? What would make sex feel better to you regularly? Like, what do you need?
And a lot of couples, we hear so many reports, a lot of couples listen to this podcast either together or separately on their commutes and then use it as a weekly conversation starter.
Which is so beautiful and inspiring. And thank you.
Brilliant. Highest use of this podcast ever. And you can use specific episodes, you know, and just say, I stumbled upon this or my friend sent it to me or whatever. But can but can we both listen to this podcast and then talk about what we hear? That would be a great thing to do before a long walk together, before a drive, whenever. So this is one piece of sexual confidence. There are many others. And this is a big, big overarching theme that we need to look at over many episodes. How to develop sexual confidence. What does it mean? How does it play out in the rest of your life? But this one piece of knowing that you're worthy, knowing you belong, knowing you're accepted, and so you can show up for the sexual experience without having to ask for that validation. That am I good enough doesn't belong in the bed. And when you are communicating outside of the bedroom, that's a great place to gather information, ask nuanced questions. And then when you're having sex, focus on just taking each other for the most pleasurable journey possible and paying attention to the verbal and nonverbal cues so you can get lots of information, just how the body responds without even having to talk. And then when you talk, is it dirty talk? Is it romantic talk? Is it distracting? Is it arousing? That is a very individual preference in different moments. So you can play with that and figure out what role does talking have in your sex life, but probably asking the have you come yet question is not the place to do it, right? That's not the way to dirty talk. So explore that. Let us know how it goes. We love hearing from you. You can find us at pleasuremechanics.com. Sign up for the Erotic Essentials for our free online course, which will set you up with a lot of great things to explore together as a couple or as an individual and set you on your way to a happier, healthier, more pleasurable sex life. And then when you are ready, enroll in our Erotic Mastery classes so you have stroke-by-stroke guides to follow along with each other in these sex labs of yours. So you can explore all these new techniques and develop that sexual confidence that your hands, your mouth, your body has a whole new set of skills to pleasure your lover. And that is one of the deepest sources of sexual confidence I know, is that when you are like well-trained sexual athlete. All right, I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.